This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 115. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today I'm joined again by Nick Sinclair of The Outsourced Accountant. So we were joined previously by Nick in episodes 106 and 111. So if you want to catch up on his backstory and also a in-depth dive into his business, The Outsourced Accountant, then please do. Today, I'm just chewing the fat with Nick. He has a lot of business insight. He has a lot of outsourcing insight. And so, you know, that's what I like talking about the most. There's a lot of great content here, a lot of learnings, especially if you're in business, if you're thinking about outsourcing, or if you're even thinking about operating within the outsourcing sector. So I'm sure you'll get a lot from it. If you want to get in touch with Nick or get the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/115. Enjoy. And just quickly, I want to apologize for the slight sound issues we had. There's sometimes a little bit dodgy internet here in the Philippines, so I try my best to edit it out, but there's still a lot of good content. Today, we're lucky to be joined again by Nick Sinclair of The Outsourced Accountant. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Derek. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Absolute pleasure. And I just want to spend time with Nick because of his outsourcing insight and talk more broadly about the opportunities of outsourcing. Of course, Nick has joined us previously where we have spoken in depth about his accounting service offering here in the Philippines. So today, Nick, I just want to explore, you know, your journey with outsourcing and your thoughts on the potential for the future. You personally, you're the outsourced accountant, you are planning to grow to 10,000 staff in the next 5 years. Is that right?
That's correct.
And, you know, where do you see the potential for the outsourcing industry going generally? There's about 1 million people employed by the outsourcing industry now. But in many accounts, it's kind of plateaued or reducing because the big multinationals are kind of, they're full. But do you see still growth and opportunity in outsourcing?
Yeah, look, I think there's significant opportunity with the outsourcing sector. I mean, I see more and more specialty providers popping up on a daily basis. But I think in the past, a lot of the outsourcing has been done by large providers where they basically deal with anyone and anyone. And what I'm particularly seeing, and especially with our business, is the real niche players where they're specialising in certain areas are probably the fastest growing within the outsourcing sector. So it's probably more, instead of a BPO or an outsourcing provider dealing with anyone and everyone, it's going to be more focused around specific niches and really targeting services towards those.
And you focus on the SMEs. What with your sort of first-hand knowledge, what is the penetration of outsourcing like into the SME world? Is there still a long way to go?
Yeah, look, I think, to be honest, and I mean, our niche is accounting firms. So when you look at the market share that we have in the industry, we're probably less than 3% of the actual industry using us. And when you look at the statistics that are done from the research by industry groups, less than 20% of the industry are actually outsourcing in some capacity. So, look, I think there's huge opportunity. We certainly see it by the amount of speaking engagements I do and the increased interest over the years. It's becoming more and more common now. But I still think that it's, in our minds, you and I deal with this every day, so we probably think the market is a lot more knowledgeable than it is. I really honestly believe that the market's still, in a lot of cases, unaware of the opportunities of outsourcing, and I think there's a significant amount of growth to come, but more specifically probably in those niche sort of markets.
Yeah, Outsource Accelerator, we are also targeting that top end of the funnel where people really have little or no awareness of outsourcing. And we actually get a little bit of kickback, with some of our sort of Facebook advertising, we can actually get comments saying that we traitors or terrorists and things like this. There is a little bit of obviously apprehension and kickback with outsourcing because there's potential that it can take jobs. But do you see resistance from accountants? Is it a kind of 100% conversion rate, or where do you see their apprehension stemming from?
Yeah, look, I mean, when I was first on stage 3.5, 4 years ago, I was getting yelled abuse at me. I was getting told I was un-Australian. I was taking jobs away. But the reality and the statistics within our own business is that out of our 227 odd clients that we have now, pretty much 100% of them are growing their employees' numbers in Australia. They're not using it as a staff reduction strategy. It's actually used as a growth strategy and dealing with capacity. So that's one of the biggest misconceptions is that you put on a team overseas, it takes away jobs. But we're seeing pretty much all of the firms that utilise us growing their Australian-based teams, US teams, UK teams. But then on the flip side, they're also growing a global team in the Philippines as well. So we certainly see it as a positive. There's just a lot of misunderstanding around it. Whenever we're published in journals and particularly industry ones, there's always a negative comment saying you're taking jobs away. But a lot of the time is the people making those comments just don't understand it. And the first reaction for them is, oh, you're taking jobs away. And once you actually challenge them or talk to them about it and they understand it, then they quickly retract those comments.
Yeah, and Australia is maybe one of the most kind of protectionist states in many ways, in that it is an island. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. There's very limited workforce migration and mobility. And so as a result, salaries are very high and kind of margins are pinched from every angle. Do you think that's why Australia has embraced outsourcing to such a degree?
Look, I think there's two camps. There's the camps that don't understand it and they don't know how to run a proper business. So they're very much the patriotic people. But then on the flip side of it, I see a significant amount of Australian businesses that have got team members over here in the Philippines. I spend, you know, a good half of my year over here and just amazed at when I'm walking around with different meetings that I do and seeing how many different Australian businesses over here. It's, the question's more which ones aren't here. All your big brands are here. You just don't hear about it or see it until you're actually over here. So, look, I certainly think that Australians are early adopters with a lot of things. I think they embrace change. So I think that the top end of businesses have certainly been doing this for a couple of years now, if not longer. And it's really the rest of the market that are now catching up on the awareness and just getting familiar with what it is and how it could actually be a benefit to them in their business.
And do you think that outsourcing can be stopped, do you think? And where is it going? Do you think eventually every firm will have a large chunk of their company outsourced?
Yeah, look, I definitely believe it will be. There's a lot of, and this is what I suppose the reality of outsourcing is, a lot of it is process-orientated work that even with technology advancements and AI and everything else, automating a lot of things, you still need people to be involved in the process. And the reality is and this is the most common thing that we get, is the firms that are using us, they can't find people to do that work in Australia or the US or the UK because people don't enjoy it and they get bored with it. They want to do different types of work. But our Philippines team absolutely thrive and love that style of work, the data analytics, the detailed process work. They really enjoy doing it and they stay in the roles doing it. So when you're looking at the roles that are actually being done, a lot of these are difficult to recruit and retain people in the Western world anyway. So I think that's where a lot of misconception comes, is actually what roles are being done offshore and what's being done onshore, and could you realistically scale in the Western world for these roles, because most of the time you can't find people to do that type of work.
Yeah. And also I find the interesting thing about accounting is different sectors have varying kind of applicabilities to outsourcing. And I think accounting is probably one of the best sectors for outsourcing because it's a professional services sector. The tradable asset is human resource, but highly skilled, high cost human resource. And, you know, that is the main cost base. So if you can actually reduce that cost base by getting good, well-trained staff in a cheaper location, then actually you've kind of won the game, haven't you? Whereas other kind of industries where, you know, like if you're a painter, for example, you need to be on site, you need to be in the houses painting, and you can maybe just get a bit of assistance with a few back-end staff. So it probably won't completely change the business model. So, yeah, do you see that some industries can benefit more than others from outsourcing?
Yeah, look, definitely. There's certain industries over here which it's really scalable. Like you mentioned, with the painting business, it's a bit harder because you still need people to paint. But professional services businesses like the niche that we operate in, accounting, you know, it's all a process and system. It's all utilising cloud technology, which is a real enabler. When you're looking at other industries like radiography, so if you get an X-ray done, a lot of that is being read and diagnosed over in the Philippines. Architects, architecture design, there's so many industries over here that where it doesn't require a person physically doing a task. So a lot of the trade-related roles in the Western world you can't do. Certainly there are back offices you can do, but you can't, you know, you can't have someone, you know, building a house offshore. It needs to be done locally. So we certainly see the niche that we play in is prime for outsourcing because of technology, because of the dynamics of what that industry is, and that's why it's one of the fastest growing.
Yeah, there's definitely sort of, you know, better or worse sectors. But I actually speak to a lot of builders about outsourcing, and they're probably very good candidates for outsourcing because commonly, again, you know, they can't afford the staff, they can't afford the support. So when they're off building a house, they've got zero business development, they've got zero administrative support, and they could actually benefit the most by having a business manager, having a back office manager, having all their accounts done in the Philippines, and so that they have a sales machine working while they're building a house, so they have, you know, more houses to move on to. You know, the kind of scope and opportunity for outsourcing is pretty incredible.
I agree, and that's where you look at outsourcing really can benefit any type of business, and you're looking at it from like exact your example there. What you're really setting up is a business, and the product that they're building is the house, but they're running a business. So typically a builder or an SME builder in Australia, for example, where I live, predominantly they're on the tools, they're managing on site. They're not really running a business because they don't have the back end people because they can't afford it to have a real team driving all the marketing and administration and, you know, client service and accounts and all that. It's typically the, you know, a small business, but the benefit with an outsourced team is you can really build a professional business at a low cost to be able to then deliver a lot more product, being a house or whatever the product is.
Yeah, and so we commonly sort of preach, and you know, I'm building this business effectively, Outsource Accelerator, that is, with a completely Philippine-based team, but I am selling my product into the West. So my clients are in the West, charging Western prices, but you know, the entire cost base is at a Philippine level. So that's almost the ultimate for any business, isn't it? To kind of arbitrage those the cost and income figures. But do you, and I refer to it as kind of inverting the pyramid, when a lot of businesses might start outsourcing with one or two back office staff, but then eventually you could, in theory, flip the entire pyramid so that you've got the entire company run from the Philippines, including, you know, to some extent, senior management and decision makers. And then you really just have the home country, in inverted commas, having the whatever you need client-facing kind of hubs. Do you see that happening more in the future?
Yeah, look, definitely. I mean, for our own business in Outsourced Accountant, that's exactly what we have. So we have our face-to-face sales team in Australia and our executive team, but in the Philippines, all the lead generation, the appointment setting, the pre-marketing through the funnels, ebooks, all the content, video production, everything's done in our Philippines office, and the guys in Australia are purely just sitting in front of people on a day-to-day basis. They don't do any administration, they don't do anything other than talk to customers and prospects. But when you look at from our client's point of view, our accounting firms, we really see outsourcing success being if you're doing it well, you've got one person in Australia to one person in the Philippines. If you're starting to make it work, you've got two people in the Philippines to one in Australia. And if you're really nailing the process and getting it up and running and really investing in your business to make it work, you've got three people in the Philippines to one income producer in the Western world.
Yeah, and if you look at those ratios, the opportunity is just magical, isn't it? Not least for, well, I mean, for both countries, you know, because it is a win-win, like for the home country and the Philippines. It just provides fantastic opportunities for everyone. We've done a white paper analyzing the SME market and the applicability of outsourcing, and there's 35 million SMEs in the high-cost English-speaking West, and they employ 100 million people. And so, you know, if they each employ a one-for-one ratio, that's 100 million, and that's officially every person, man, woman, and child in the Philippines employed. It's you know, and the companies then, of course, they've also added incredible rocket fuel to their business. It's the potential is huge, huh?
Well, the reality is if it was one for one, I mean, the revenue of the businesses would more than double, and profitability would more than triple. So it's not just, I mean, putting on one person for one person. It's the revenue, the capacity, the income, you know, the profit, which means more taxes as well for the local countries where they're operating, is literally a win-win.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality, isn't it? Like, healthy companies mean healthy communities, and that means healthy countries. It's very much a win-win in that regard.
No,
Okay, so that was Nick Sinclair of The Outsourced Accountant. If you want to get in touch with Nick or know any more about any part of the show, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/115. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then please do just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.